Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
How great thou art. I love that song. And yes, Kevin, I was actually going to share your testimony. About 2 months ago, we were worshipping to How Great Thou Art. And during the chorus of it, Heather, you in the room? You might have been here in the morning, but Heather blew her nose and she heard bones cracking in her ears, and she suffered from partial deafness. It's something that runs in her family, and she had tinnitus, the ringing in her ears. But as she blew her nose during the chorus of that song, not even a word of knowledge, not even someone laying hands on her, God popped open her ears and she began to hear completely. She waited until the end of the service just to test it out, and sure enough, God healed her. We shared the testimony in the Hebrew, the word testimony. Jay Schelling, where you at? Come to the front. I butcher the Hebrew so badly. I feel so bad when you're in the room. I saw you. Jay, come, run to the front. Right, Jay. Jay Schelling, there you are, my friend. The Hebrew word for testimony is Edut. Is that right? The Hebrew word for testimony? You say it.
Edu.
I'm going to get Jay to preach one day and teach us all about Hebrew culture and get him to pronounce the words properly. Edu. And in the meaning of that is to do it again in the same power and authority. So Heather's sharing her testimony and we're fired up. And then we share this testimony. And then our friend Kevin, stand up, Kev. He comes to the front. And we pray for so many people. Apparently, I laid hands on you, Kevin, about a few weeks after for your shoulder and then for your ears. And then you came home and you realized your hearing aids was too loud. You turned it down to the lowest setting. It was still too loud. Then you took it off and you realized God restored healing to your ears, complete hearing returned. And on top of that, his eyesight as well. I don't even remember praying for you, my friend, but that's the point. Because it's Holy Spirit in us that does the healing. Amen. It's not us, it's Holy Spirit in us. Greater is he who lives in us and he who is in the world. Amen. And so and then by just chance, accident, I was preaching a few weeks after you got your eyesight fully restored. And I needed someone with a fatherly voice to read scriptures, all of Colossians, I think, 2 at that point. And I got Kevin volunteered. And I didn't even realize he was reading without his glasses. You remember Kevin when he first came to our church a few months ago wearing glasses. He doesn't wear glasses anymore. This Bible in small print, reading word for word, perfect eyesight. So tonight, I say all this because, I want to thank you for coming out. I know you're not probably here for my birthday, probably here for the food and to praise Jesus. Let's be real. And some of you have come from an invitation from a friend. Honestly, as I said in the morning service, I really feel God wanted us to celebrate this milestone in my life. If anything, I'm happy for the day to go past and celebrate quietly with God. But I can see why God wants this day to happen, for him to be celebrated and his goodness. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony and story. Because remember, if God can do it for me, he'll do it again for you. And even to a greater measure and glory, I pray. And last couple of months, God highlighted this day and he said, it's no accident that your 20th birthday being born again falls on a Sunday. I gave my heart to Jesus July 16 on a Wednesday night at a Cranbourne Masonic Hall. And this man on my right, who's he for the first time led me to Jesus, he's a guy I grew up with, and he's going to share a bit of the story as well. And then 20 years later, on a Sunday to celebrate with my beautiful church family. And even last week, the Lord showed me a dream that there was waves of revival coming over the top of our building. It was over our church. It's bigger. These waves were getting bigger and bigger. It started about this high and that high and then higher than this roof. In the natural, looking at such an enormous thing, there was a 1 second level of fear to think, oh no, we're going to be wiped out. But in fact, it was the opposite. In my dream, at the top of this, it was actually an outdoor amphitheater, but I can tell it was my birthday celebration being born again because I've been talking of this lechon, this roast pig that I've ordered. In our culture as Filipinos, we celebrate with a lechon, a roast pig, and we have one tonight as well, praise God. But in my dream was this lechon. It was around the top part. And as the waves filled up the stadium, my lechon was all good. We feasted. We enjoyed the presence of God. But as each wave came in and on top of us, there was a sound of like big wooden beams breaking, of ship masts, like things that aren't made to break, breaking. And each wave, the bigger the wave, the bigger the sound, like boom. And I asked the Lord, what is that? And he said, it is the sound of deliverance. It is the sound of the breaking of the bondage to sin and slavery, substance abuse, fear, depression, and anxiety. And so whatever it is that you've been carrying for so long, for so many years, know that God is good and he can break it in a single moment, in a single encounter with him. This also extends to our healing, that perhaps you haven't been able to hear for so long. Perhaps you haven't been able to see. And I feel now to prophesy, not just in the natural, but like figuratively as well. Jesus said, he who has ears, let them hear. He who has eyes, to him let him see what the Spirit is doing. Amen. And so this is my good friend Jay. He's going to help me share the word tonight. And I really honor him. And I thank him for his obedience all those years ago to push away a little bit of the fear and get up and preach for the very first time. He preached his heart out. And that led to an amazing encounter with the Lord. And it's been a beautiful journey with God. And tonight, I feel to focus on a certain subject which is different from the morning, and that is to know the call of God. How do we know the call of God in our lives, and how do we walk it out and finish this race well? But before I get there, I'm going to get my friend Jay to preach. Is that all good? Awesome. Let's give it up for Jay.
I'm actually going to throw all my notes away from this morning. But to be honest with you, when he told me there was going to be lich on, I just said, for sure, I'll definitely come just for that. Three months ago, mid-April, I got a call from this guy and he told me about this day. And I didn't share this morning, but when he called me, it was a dark time for me. And I was in a place where I was going through a lot at work. For those of you, for you to understand, I work at a ministry which is called Our Daily Bread Ministries. And it's a non-profit Christian organization where we produce Christian resources that help people engage with the Bible. And there were certain things that I'd gone through and a lot of hurt that I went through during that period. And then I got this call. But before I got this call, I was coming home every night complaining and just sharing with my wife, Anne. She was here this morning and she'll know for the past, since January up until probably just maybe a month ago or a couple months ago, I was complaining in a place where I felt like the biggest failure in everything that I was doing. And I was looking at my life at that very moment thinking, I've failed as a manager at work. I've failed as a father in my home. I'm always coming home angry and I'm always taking it out on my family. What have I done with my life? And I was beating myself up thinking, who am I to be living this life? What am I doing? And then I get this call from Alex and he tells me, bro, I want to invite you to my 20-year celebration of me being born again. And it was like a light bulb moment where God said, snap out of it. In spite of what you're feeling and in spite of your failures, I have still called you, and the seeds of your obedience that you stepped out in 20 years ago were these seeds of salvation that were sown into his life and that has now sparked this revival that has begun in this place. And can I tell you that it is not a mistake that he got saved at Cranbourne Masonic Hall, Freemasons, on a Wednesday night. And I tell you, he gives me credit that when I preached, he accepted Jesus into heart. But I tell you, I acted in obedience, and it wasn't only me. I didn't say it this morning, but my sister was here this morning, and she sung that song if you guys were here this morning. But I want to say that there was a team of us who stepped out in obedience, following the call of God on our lives, so that this man could receive salvation and then he be doing what he is doing today. And if God can do that in me, and God can do that in a bunch of young kids, I was 18 years old preaching my very first message, and I didn't know what I was saying. I was crying right through the whole time, just nervous, yet through that God used me. And I want to tell you today that if you feel like rubbish tonight, there is one moment of obedience that if you step into that obedience, God can use that obedience to spark this love, unconditional love that just gets poured out to not only one life, but to many lives who are here listening today. And when Alex spoke to me 3 months ago and God snapped me out of my selfish thinking, what have I done with my life? He reminded me that there are things that you've done in your life that have sparked a domino effect, that have sparked a wave that is ongoing, that will be ongoing to eternity. And I believe that tonight was a confirmation, and this morning, I'm going to read to you. I messaged my sister this afternoon, and I just said to her, my sister's name is Rona, and I call her Ron, just for short. And I said, thanks, Ron. I couldn't have done it without you. She poured years of her life in youth ministry into my life and into all of us who were in part of this youth ministry back then 20 years ago, called Excel Youth. And this is what she responded. I'm going to read it. She doesn't know I'm reading this, so don't tell her if you come across her. She said, no, thank you, Jay. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't have been able to sing at all. I was so nervous, I didn't hear a word Alex was saying. She did laugh. But even though, despite our failures, God used us to make a change in so many people's lives. All those people, it is because you and I chose to listen to God's voice. It is a beautiful chain reaction. And today, I'm sure someone was touched. Only God knows. And you know what she said? She says here, you know, I've dreamt of the same type of tsunami Alex was talking about ages ago during that time period in our youth ministry at church them 20 years back. It was like a confirmation that God is still going to do what he promised, and it doesn't really matter if we're in it in the front lines or whether we're in the background. My sister never wanted to be in the front line, and I'm similar to her. I don't like limelight because I grew up in limelight as a pastor's kid. But she said that it was a confirmation that the dreams that she dreamt of this tsunami taking over this place, Alex had the same dream. And you know what's funny? 20 years ago, he got saved at Cranbourne. I'd preached my first message, and there was a team of us who put on a service on a Wednesday night in Cranbourne. And then some years later, when he met his wife, Jess, you know what I find out? We went to the same high school, Cranbourne High School. And you know what's funny about that as well? Is that my dad's church, they're still running today, but they're now in Lynbrook. But for a very long time, our church was in the Seaford Community Centre. For such, I think it was for most of my upbringing in church life. You remember Seaford Community Centre? Mahogany. Who knows Mahogany Community Centre? Is it Monterey High School? I hear that it's probably one of the roughest schools. That was not by mistake that we were in this area running a youth ministry, and then we would run outreach events in Cranbourne, Masonic Hall, and now this guy is pastoring a church where I pretty much grew up in church at the Mahogany Community Centre. And if you had told me 20 years ago that this guy would be pastoring a church, fire church, I'd be like, he doesn't want to be a pastor. If anything, everyone thought that I was going to be a pastor. But you know what? I'm so grateful that I've watched this man from the sidelines step into the call of God, and he has been so obedient along the way. And I've watched him. The one thing that I love about this man is that there is not a pride bone in him, and he is such a humble, servant-hearted, an obedient man that does things that no other man would do. It is unique to what he does. And I believe this is a word for you, Alex. I love you. Jesus loves you. And God has called you to this place for a reason. And you are reaching the people that aren't being reached. And I'm here to cheer you on. But I got reminded of this dream, which I will share tonight because I believe we're all part of it. I was in the city walking. All of a sudden, I heard chanting, prayers, and all around me I could start seeing people looking around thinking, and it was the sound of prayer and the sound of worship, and I could see musical notes spreading out. And as I look up Colonial Stadium, this musical note started coming up. And it was like a spark of revival rising up, where Christians from all over the city were in this stadium praying for this city. I believe that we are part of that, and it will happen. And we need to stand in the gap of our calling. And each and every one of us, it's not the people who stand up here that are responsible for this. It's all of us as a family who is responsible, and know that we need to step out in our calling and in obedience, and that in 20 years' time, we can go back and be like, wow. Just like I had that light bulb moment when he gave me that call in April, when he said, I'm celebrating my 20 years of my salvation. Can you come and speak? My first thought was that I'm just so not worthy to speak right now. But God reminded me and snapped me out of it. But you know what? You gave me the mic and I felt really led to do it. I tell you today, Jess, Alex, pastoring is hard. I've seen it. I grew up with it. I've watched my parents. They're still pastoring today. They started the church in 1991, and they're now in Lynbrook, and they're still pastoring. And I've seen the ins and outs of church life, and that's probably why I'm not a pastor. Beth, I don't know if she's here tonight. She asked me if I'm a pastor, and I said, look, I'm credentialed, but I don't have a position as a pastor. She's like, what are you waiting for? Beth? Beth? I was just like, whoa. But I feel really led to pray for your pastors before he gets up and shares his word. Is that okay, guys? I've hijacked. If we could get Jess and Alex, if you could just stand. If everyone just stand and just raise your hands towards these guys, because pastoring is so hard, yet these guys are taking the time to pastor and be that shepherd over this church. And I'm so proud. I feel like I've done nothing, to be honest. But let's pray for these guys. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Holy Spirit. You know the call of God on Alex and Jess, Lord God. And I know, Lord God, that you have positioned and prepared them for such a time as this, Father God. And I know, Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you are going to take them from this place on to the next level. And I know and believe, and we all stand here together praying for them, Lord God, that Holy Spirit, your waves upon waves upon waves upon waves, Lord God, will just come crashing over this place, Father God, that you will use Alex and Jess, Lord God, to just pioneer a revival, Lord God, that will just spark a revival in this city, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that they are so willing to serve you, Lord God, and I thank you right now, Lord, I just pray for strength upon their lives. I pray for strength upon Alex and Jess, Lord God, and even as they raise this church, Father God, and even their family, Lord God, their kids, Lord God, I just pray that you spark a legacy, Lord God, that will be seen in years to come, Lord God. And we stand in the gap for the Barcenas family, Lord God. We lift them up to you, Lord God, and we declare, Lord God, for anointing, Lord, a double anointing, Lord God, more salvations, Father God, more healing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, more breakthrough in the name of Jesus, more breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We pray for this fire to continue to rush through in every areas of their lives in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we ask all these things, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Ah, so powerful. Thank you so much, Jay. It's been a huge honor just to really live this life. Wherever you hang out. Hang out here, bro. Go for it, man. Jay and I grew up in Sunday school together, and I know you were the good kid. I was part of the bad group. I used to run away from Sunday school teachers. And, growing up, I didn't think we'd actually end up being best friends until he led me to the Lord. And I just clung on to every word he said. I'd just ask a lot of questions. We'd go and hang out. I'd be struggling with stuff in the background, you know, stuff on the internet, just dumb stuff as a young adult that I was. And, I'd go and I used to share a car with my older brother. He's 1 year older than me. And he'd get frustrated and be like, oh, where are you off to? You going to Cranbourne again? I grew up in Charlton with my family, my bro. Are you going to go to Cranbourne and go to Jay and cry again? I go, yeah, he's my accountability partner. He's my bro. The Bible says, I love my brother dearly. There's a brother, but then there's one that sticks closer than a brother as well at times. And Jay was that. And we became best men for each other, you know, weddings. And so I really honor you, Jay, for your mentorship, your leadership, your guidance as well. And we used to have this saying when we were in Bible college, where I met Jess, and we used to have this saying that all the way, we're going to go for God, go for gold, and we're going to finish this race, we're going to go all the way. So Jay, go for gold. You haven't heard that in 15 years or so. Go for gold. And, you know, it was like with Job. When he has tested me in the fire, I will come out like gold. And that's where our scripture reference was from. And so I felt tonight to really share. And what you just shared there was quite prophetic around this dream. When did you have the dream? Yeah. A while back. Before Awakening Australia? 2018? Before then? Before then. So you said Colonial Stadium. And I'm a Melbourne boy. I've been here since 1990 from the Philippines. I came over when I was six. So I kind of know my little bit of the stadiums and different name changes they've had. But 2018, we had Awakening Australia. Our church was one of the main hosts. In fact, the main host with Pastor Dan, our founder of Fire Church Ministries, is the Awakening Australia director. We were in Marvel Stadium. When you said Colonial Stadium just then, I quickly Googled it. It was actually called Colonial Stadium, 2000 to 2002, for 2 years before it became Telstra Stadium, and then Etihad, and now what it is, Marvel. The reason why that's significant is your dream has come to pass, but there's more. And on the way here, we were actually watching Awakening Australia with kids, with my kids in the car, watching Uncle Dan lead worship. We went, in fact, up to the part where Pop Frank Clancy, who knows Frank Clancy, was getting prayed for with Ben Fitzgerald, who's going to be speaking here next week. And I thought, this is so cool. I'm going to give my kids a little bit of church history, Australian church history with Awakening Australia. Jay had that dream. I didn't know until he shared that. We have Awakening Australia announced for next year in Brisbane. We encourage everyone to come along. But I'm saying all of this because for every single person in this room, there is a call of God on your life. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Every single person is called. If you're a son and a daughter of God, guess what? There is a call of God on you. And perhaps you don't know him yet. Like I didn't. When I was 18 going on to 19, 2003, just trying to find my life. The Bible says, he who tries to find his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sakes will find it. And in fact, what I saw God do on that night, growing up as a Pentecostal kid by association, I never had a relationship with Jesus. I just went there because Dad had us on the weekends, because Mum and Dad divorced when I was eight, lived with my mum and stepdad. And during the week, I was at a Catholic boys' school in St. Bede's, Mentone, year 7 to year 12. Funnily enough, we never really learnt about God. There was a Green Day play during chapel, Blink 182. I'm talking about like the late 90s here, the early 2000s. I'm putting a bit of a timestamp here with the music, but nothing really about God. And it was like these rote memory prayers. And then this man and his sisters, and rightly said, was a team just like here. It's not just Alex and Jess. It's an incredible team that God has called here. And we're seeing great things done. And I just saw this fire in their eyes. And I thought, I want what they have. And I knew it was God. And it's time to finally come home to him and say yes to Jesus. And my heart was wrecked. And this is what happened. If you have your Bibles with you, Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. It says this, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him. Everyone say, love him. Love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. I didn't love God, if I'm honest with you, until that night. And he had my heart so wrenched and so wrecked that it was beating out of my chest and I thought I was about to have a heart attack. And, Jay preached his very first sermon that night, just from start to finish, in tears. And the love of God just compelled me. He talked about the unconditional love of God, that he loves you just the way you are, but he also loves you too much just to leave you the way you are. And I thought to myself, all right, Jay's really slamming me with the truth right now. He said, if you died, is it heaven or hell? I don't know. I've been a good Catholic boy, I think. But I never had this relationship with God. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. And God isn't into ritual prayers. He's not into kind of just man-made practices and being a robot and these monotonous activities. He is about your heart. And as I just read there, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, He will circumcise our hearts. He will cut away that heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. Jesus is looking tonight to see who will respond. And so I was still trying to find my life as a brand new Christian, as a young adult, now 19, going to 20, was in banking and finance at RMIT because I thought that's what will make mum happy. That's what looks good to the world, have this high-flying career. But I'm not a numbers guy. I hate maths, if I'm honest with you. That's why I married the opposite. Opposites attract, and you kind of cover each other's weaknesses. Jess is a numbers person. She's the detail person. I'm the visionary. I'm the art kind of dude. I'm the history, geography kind of guy. She's the biology, chemistry, physics, maths, specialist maths, all those fun subjects, right? And so I thought to myself, I'm an imposter. What am I doing in this course? And then I'm hearing prophetic words spoken over me that you're going to be a pastor one day. That you're going to be a pastor one day. And then another meeting, another youth young adult meeting, you're going to be a pastor one day. And I was thinking to myself, please, no more. Because I actually don't want to be a pastor. Because one of the things I knew that pastors had to do, before I knew how crazy things could get, looking after people, was actually preaching. And I don't want to be a preacher. I hate public speaking. I thought to myself, let me be an evangelist, because I've been doing that right almost from the get-go, telling people about Jesus. I read my Bible. It says, go into the highways and byways and implore them, plead them to come to the house of God. Go, and as you go, preach the kingdom of heaven, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you receive, now freely give. I was cool doing that. That's a one-on-one conversation, but don't get me to public speak. But nevertheless, these words resonated in my heart, and I thought, you know what, it's time to be real. And I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord say, drop out of that course, banking and finance, and switch to work, full-time work for a little bit, but then I switched to Bible college part-time. And I was doing Bible college, started off as a part-time student, doing Tuesday night or Thursday night class, youth stream ministry, and pneumatology, Holy Spirit studies. And it was just a certificate level. And then one holiday with my friends in Queensland, I went with my non-Christian friends. It was a cheap deal, like these flights, penthouse, apartment accommodation. I thought, well, this is really dirt cheap. We arrived and realized, oh no, we got the schoolies package. We're like these toolies accidentally on schoolies. And my friends go and do their thing. And one Sunday morning, I decided to go to a church service. And I felt the Lord prompted me, and He said, I want you to switch from certificate and go full-time degree. I had these fears that, you know what, maybe not God, because I didn't really do too well in high school. I kind of just cruised through. I didn't put the effort in. And I was fearful that my essays that were now 1,000 words will become 3,000 and all this extra effort. And in that church service at the Gold Coast, I stepped into a night service like this. And it wasn't your typical nighttime service. It was, in fact, a Bible college graduation. And I thought, this is funny. God, are you trying to say something? And then I went to the New People's Lounge because I was just walking past and I see these caramel slices and these biscuits and strawberries and kiwi fruit. My eyes got drawn. My spirit led me there. That was so smooth. And I'm just holding down the caramel slice. And then the pastor who I saw on the platform is also the principal of the college, comes and says hi to me and goes, oh, are you a family member or friend of the students? I go, no, I'm just a new person. He goes, oh, sorry, this is just for the family and friends of the students. I go, my apologies. The spread just looked amazing. And he goes, tell me where you're from anyway. I go, I said, I'm from Melbourne. And in fact, thank you for putting on this service because you have no idea, but I was actually asking God, do I switch from my casual kind of certificate study to full-time degree. And I think this is confirmation. And he goes, and where do you go to college? You go, Harvest Bible College. He goes, let me give you another confirmation. I used to lecture at Harvest Bible College. And God says, yes, go for it. In everything that God has led me to, and I'm sure in your lives as well, It has been funny, coincidental moments, things that look like an accident. You're in a certain room, you're among certain people, and God is speaking through these people, through circumstances and through words spoken. You see, the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordained by the Lord, and he delights in their ways. And even if he stumbles, the Lord will pick him up. I stumbled and I fumbled a lot over the years, and I thank God for his mercy. But it comes down to this. Some people get so caught up in the doing. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What's my call? What is the career path? What is the ministry path? What is the study path? In everything that God led me to, did you know it came from a simple place of love? I shared it in the morning service. I came into the kingdom of heaven not out of duty or obligation or rote prayers, but with a full baptism of his love and fire, that I decided within myself, I'm not going to walk this life with God out of obligation or duty, but it's always going to be from a place of love. And I'm going to leave this earth knowing that I pray that people will know that I am loved by God and I love him back. And I pray that's going to be known of you as well, that you are going to be known by your love for God. It's so simple. A hero in the faith of mine, Michael Koulianos, I heard him share this recently. He's got a church of, oh goodness, thousands of people now, 2 million subscribers on Facebook and so forth. But many years ago when he first started out, they couldn't break past 50. In fact, his church shrunk from like 300 down to 150, down to 50. And he'd joke and say things like, you know, we're a mega church. We're mega small. And, you know, if you want to stay a sinner, stay bound, then come to our church. We are the miracle-free church. It was a dead church, he said. And he went and sought advice from a great man of God. Some of you know the name Oral Roberts. And he spoke with Oral and tried to get advice. How do I actually get this thing off the ground? And Oral said to him, you need to meet Jesus. And he goes, I don't think you understood the question. I met the Lord when I was 12 at Pastor Benny's church, Benny Hinn's church, my father-in-law now. And he said, you need to meet Jesus. He's frustrated with that answer. He then goes on to catch up with this man who played the organ and the keys for Catherine Coleman, a man named Rex, who Benny Hinn funded like in terms of his retirement, financially looked after him. And he said the same thing. What must I do to actually get this thing going? And by the way, this isn't just related to ministry. This is related to the call of God on your life, whether it's raising your family, a job, a career, or a business, or it perhaps is ministry. What is the call of God? How does this thing get going? And Rex goes, in his old state, Jesus calls a man. And he's like, what? What does that even mean? So Jesus calls a man. And then finally, the last straw, he went to one of these sisters, evangelical, charismatic sisters, who had an impact on his father-in-law's life, and again presented the same question, what must I do? And she said these simple and beautiful words, find the love of Jesus and love him back. And he thought, not again. What's that got to do with anything? And she said it again, find the love of Jesus and love him back. It's so simple, isn't it, Al? We were chatting about this. It's so simple. Find the love of Jesus and love him back. Here's some scripture. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Everyone say, you can't do nothing without him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. When you abide in him and abide in his love and are so close to his heart, your desires, perhaps without you even realizing it, becomes his desires. His desires, rather, becomes your desires. What breaks his heart breaks your heart. And so whatever you ask according to his heart and his will and his pleasure, so it shall be done for you. Sometimes we're asking God for things, but it's not coming to pass. Because the Bible says we ask out of the wrong motive, that we may spend those things we get for ourselves. But God in his goodness has a perfect and pleasing will, and he wants you to know it. That scripture I quoted earlier, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The Greek word for find in that passage is heirisko, which means to be found, to find something, especially after a lot of searching. Especially after a lot of searching. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. In Proverbs it says this, but it is the glory of kings to search the matter out. God delights in us chasing him and chasing his heart and asking God, what is the will? What is your will for my life? What is the calling that you have for me? Because he's not going to entrust something so beautiful, so powerful to just casual Christians who may just take him seriously for one day and then forget about him the next. Because who knows, the calling of God is so beautiful, it is so magnificent, but it is wrapped up in persecution, it is wrapped up in misunderstanding, it is wrapped up in rejection, in being hated on, being talked about badly. But even with all of that, God uses that to form the character in us. You think about Joseph, he had been given a dream that he will one day be a leader and that others will be bowing down to him, even his own brothers. But he didn't have the right character to walk out that calling. God had to throw him into prison. He was rejected, misunderstood, beaten up, falsely accused. But God was working on him in the background. And I look back and I thank God for all the times that perhaps the door wasn't open, that perhaps I was misunderstood, that perhaps I was persecuted. Because I'll be honest, yes, I did respond in the flesh, and maybe I prayed some prayers, some teeth to break, but you know, God said, no, son, that's not how you do it. You pray for mercy. You pray for them. Bless your enemies. Pray for those who curse you and talk badly about you. It's forming that Christ-like character in us. And so I just love God, simply put. And I pray in this room there'll be people who perhaps don't know the love of God yet, and you will get to know him tonight. And in fact, we're going to go to a time now to open up the space. I feel, it's going to mix it up a little bit. I feel from the Spirit to really call out. I wrote these down during the transition. Let's all be up, standing on our feet. These waves in my dream was waves of refreshing. And perhaps you've come to this space dry. Was it maybe Jay or one of the people speaking tonight? And you need a refreshing touch from God. There's going to be a whole bunch of people coming up to the front. I invite you, why don't you come to the front right now? We're going to pray over you. As per my dream, there was this sound of ship mast breaking. Jay's going to help me pray as well. And prayer team, if I can get you to come to the front, and pastors and staff members just to the front, ready to pray for people. The sound of ship mast breaking. And that is the bondage to sin and slavery. You've tried to shake off that addiction, that bad habit, that thing that perhaps no one else knows except for you. It could be depression and anxiety. We have the huge privilege and honor of raising up an army for God through Laid Down Lovers of Jesus in our internship program. And in fact, this past Friday, I was giving premarital counseling to one of them who shared her testimony here a few weeks ago, Rochelle, that as she got baptized in this stage, there's a baptismal tank, as she came up out of the water, as the Bible says, we are co-buried in Him. We are dead to our sins and alive in Him. She was set free from 17 years of reliance on antidepressant medication and 5 years of meth addiction in one moment. In one moment. Come on, let's give God all the praise and honor. No side effects. If you've ever been on antidepressants or you are on it, she said she tried to come off it in her own strength in the past and she had the shakes. This time, no shakes, but complete freedom in God in one moment. Our pastor, John Boy, who pastors the Hawthorne campus, 7 years of heroin addiction coming up out of the water, completely set free. Come on, that's just the Spirit of God. God will do it in a moment. And I just realized those two examples involve water. Guess what? God showed me in my dream there's a wave that's going to come upon this floor, this meeting, this building, this atmosphere right now. A wave of revival that's going to break addictions, that's going to break sin. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that casts off all your fear. For you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Do you struggle with fear? I used to struggle with a lot of fear, with public speaking, the thought of it. But if I'm honest, it was also linked to my private life because I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing on the computer as a young man of God. You see, the Bible says, the wicked flee, though no one pursue, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I was letting the enemy have his way in my personal life, messing things up in my walk, in my call of God. And I realized I need to break this. There's people that's struggling with perhaps pornography. There's people struggling with lust. There's people struggling with addictions. Whatever it is, come down to the front right now. If you need healing in your body, I wrote this down. Neck issues, kidney issues, can even be kidney stones, or pain in the area, and left wrist sprain. Lee, did you have anything else as well coming up?
I confirm the kidney one. There was someone that I just asked, and she also, one of our interns, also saw kidney not working, in pain. I also felt like someone is having trouble keeping food down, keep throwing up. So this person, I don't know, in my head, I'm thinking they can't come to church in this condition. So if you know someone in your household that's having problem keeping food down, come forward and confirm on the anxiety as well. So if you're suffering from anxiety, feel free to come forward. We'd love to pray for you. I believe God will set you free tonight. And Kirsten has
gallbladder.
Problem with the gallbladder. So if you've got issues with gallbladder, come forward.
So good. Can we just make room? Come forward to the front because I'm now going to do another call out. It's awesome when we see God heal deaf ears, eyes restored, addictions broken. But you know, the greatest miracle of all is something that I received 20 years ago. The youth meeting is about to start, 7 p.m. But just to clear things up, we're not Freemasonaries at all. It was just a venue that we hired. The earth is the Lord and everything in it and all who dwell in it. Amen. Everything is the Lord's. And it just happened to be in this building. And as the meeting kicked off, I received the gift of salvation. The greatest miracle of all isn't just a healed body or a healed mind, but it is a restored soul. It is a spirit that is once dead, now made alive in Him. It is the gift of salvation that I was once heading down a wide and open path to hell. But because God loved us so much, He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, the Bible says, but have everlasting life. And guess what? It's not just your ticket to heaven. It's not just everlasting life into eternity, but it's life here on earth. I see the numbers 10:10 every day, and it's a healthy reminder from God. From John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life, Jesus says, and life more abundant. Is there anyone in the room that needs to get right with God tonight? With every eye closed and head bowed, every eyes closed and head bowed right now, no one looking around. If you're wondering, will I go to heaven or hell? Don't leave tonight with a question mark. Leave with a full confidence, knowing that you can get right with God. He paid all the price. There's no other way to heaven. The Bible says there is no name given unto man by which man can be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. Not through your own good works. In fact, the Bible says all our works are like filthy rags in His sight. It is not by works we are saved, lest no man, no one should boast, but it is through the grace of God, through His Son, Jesus. So if you need to get right with God, just no one looking around right now, just boldly, quickly raise up your hand. And where you are, we'd love to just acknowledge you. Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else that needs to get right with God? Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Everyone, let's pray. Heavenly Father, let's repeat these words. Jesus, thank you for loving me to the point of death. For the joy set before you, you endured the cross, that you would see that one day, just like tonight, I will give my heart to you in complete surrender. I ask that you forgive me for all my sins. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, enter my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And make me brand new. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.